and W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
We're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 a.m.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Obnoxious. I find so many angles of this obnoxious.
All right, punch him out. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
I shouldn't have said it like that.
In a case like this, squishing would actually be fun.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Morning. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison. I'm your host today, Philip Morris, filling in for our wonderful Kristen Bry, who is hopefully somewhere on some sand and sun and not what we have here in good old Waukesha.
Yeah, that was the plan. I think they're doing beachy things.
I hope so. I hope they're doing wonderful, whatever beachy things that you can possibly do on a day like today. What are we at? A whopping 24 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold.
Jane, how are you?
I am excellent, Philip. I am so glad to see you again. And I told you before we got into the studio, we worked together once before.
We did.
And it was like the first couple shows that I produced for Kristen.
Yes.
And I was so nervous and so overwhelmed, I barely have any memory of that whatsoever.
Well, good, because that nervous and overwhelming feeling, that's what I have right now.
I hear you. So I feel it. You're going to be great.
We're going to do it. We're going to survive. We're going to thrive. And we're going to have some fun here on this, what I'm going to call a very random Friday of goodness. We have no guests other than yourself and myself, truly. And we're going to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, lots of things to talk about.
We got lots of things to talk about. Lots of stuff happening around the state, around the country, and, you know, life goes on. So we're going to keep doing those things. And, you know, quick intro here. For anybody that missed me the last time, I would say Kristen and I go way back, but we really don't. What's funny is, in this small world of Wisconsin, my wife and Kristen go way back. They played basketball back in high school in Madison years ago.
Seriously.
And it's the world is only so big.
Yeah, it's teeny.
Here I was thinking that I had this, you know, wonderful celebrity friend and, you know, radio and podcast host here, and I was bragging all about it. And then she goes, no, I've known Kristen forever. I'm like, well, go ahead and just deflate my balloons already. I guess I'm nobody special. I'm just another random person.
Oh, then. That's not true.
But no, it's all right. It's all right. But we are going to have fun. Like I said, we're going to talk about some things here in this hour. We're going to get some things right off the bat here. I said some things that we're seeing out here. Lots of changes, lots of stuff happening there in Washington. Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
And I know you know what's going on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, it's going to be an interesting time in Washington. You know, I'm seeing these things and what they're talking about, you know, her successor and all the things that are changing and going on. But I can't help but think we had so much fun all these years. Nancy getting stuff done, you know, as they say, smashing heads and taking names and going about her business only way she knows how. And I don't think she's stepping out and going to disappear. You know, she's a lifer when it comes to politics and in the good old D.C., so she's still going to be very behind the scenes and getting stuff done. But we're going to talk a little bit about a gentleman he's not new on the scene, but Hakeem Jeffries, who's apparently a potential lock to succeed Nancy as leader of the House and really going to be, as I say, leader of the people in some sources. Democrats are poised and looks like they're going to pick him as their successor, but we'll see what happens. But I think if she does relinquish leadership, she's had a stronghold for more than 20 years. And I said, so he's got big shoes to fill. And so I think that, you know, He's going to have to be the next face of the next generation, and he's going to be big, bold, and do all the things that have to be done to continue pushing us forward.
It's just going to be so interesting, Philip, because Nancy had such a particular style. You know what I mean? And she wielded a hammer, but she did it wearing pearls and heels. Mm-hmm. And she was never yelly, even when she was perhaps perturbed. And Dan Schaefer and I talked about this yesterday. If you were part of her caucus and you were going against her, and she would probably call you into her office and she would tell you how disappointed she was in you, which would be like worst thing that you could hear. And so her successor, it's going to be a tough role to fill.
That's right.
You know?
You know, and I think about that, you know, it's not like this is a unknown. You know, Hakeem Jeffries has been around. You know, he's a big name there in between Brooklyn, Harlem, and all over New York, obviously. He's got incredible political experience. You know, he's been there for the District 8 there since 2022, but he was the chairperson of the House Democratic Caucus. You know, he's on the Budget Committee. I think there's not a committee that he hasn't been on. So when you talk about his legislative experience that between the committees, you know, the Budget Committee, the Judiciary Committee, the Antitrust Subcommittee, Commercial, Administrative Law, you name it, he's touched it. He's been apparently highly successful. And then when you get on there looking at the list of caucuses and the former committees, that list goes on and on. So I am very excited to see where we go, what we do, and the type of leadership. If he is the one, where we go with that?
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I know of him, but as you said, I am not terribly familiar with him. Whoever it's going to be, again, they've got their work cut out for them.
That's right.
She was able to accomplish some pretty remarkable things over the course of her career as Speaker, and I also give her an enormous amount of credit for stepping down.
That's right. You know, they talk a lot about, and I say the theys, it's all the talking heads from left to right on, you know, stepping to the side and letting the next generation come forward. And, you know, Nancy is no spring chicken, but she's not out to pasture just yet. She's got a lot of things that I'm sure she'll get done in the private sector, as well as, you know, along the lines, back and forth, helping out in the political arena. I said, but Hakeem Jeffries is also, he's not some 30-year-old. He's not some 40-year-old. He's 52.
Yeah.
He's very seasoned. He had a very strong law background. He's very educated, you know, come through some great education systems there in New York. And he's, again, I tell people all the time, you cannot have a disconnect with the next generation, but that next generation has to have a middle ground. So if you're talking about those millennials and those Gen Zs and where they're going to strive and aspire to be next, I think they've got to have that torch gets patched down from Pelosi to potentially Jeffries. And then I think he's going to be in that lens and has some time there where he's going to be thinking about where do we go next and who are we grooming for the next spots, not 20 years from now, not 30 years from now, but here over the next decade, because between now and what do we got? 2023 coming up. Between now and 2033, there's a lot of things that are going to change in our world. You know, we're going to talk about some of those here today, but there's a lot of things that are going to happen, and you're going to have that civic leadership from the bottom to the top that really cares about where we're going.
I've got a bunch of sound, Philip, from Nancy Pelosi, different clips from her over the years. This is Nancy Pelosi talking to MSNBC about what it was like when she was first elected to Congress.
It's been with great pride in my 35 years in the House I have seen this body grow more reflective of our great nation, our beautiful nation. When I came to the Congress in 1987, there were 12 Democratic women. Now they're over 90, and we want more. Members of our Democratic caucus will be about 75% women, people of color, and LGBTQ. And we have brought more voices to the decision-making table.
Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, that was during her speech announcing that she was stepping down yesterday. You know, it's great that we went from 12 to 90. That's not that many in 30 years.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny, it's at the beginning of that, and I had to chuckle a little bit. I said, she came in 1987. I got here in 1982. And so I'm like, Nancy, whether I knew it or not, at those younger ages, you know, when you're in elementary school, middle school, even high school, unless you're a part of student government and you're really paying attention or your parents are really paying attention, you don't think about who's in place, you know, as you're coming, you know, really into the world after you've had your first steps, after you've had your, you know, your first whatever.
Right.
You turn in 5, 6, 7, 8. I think about it now. I've got a 7-year-old. And so potentially Hakeem Jeffries or whoever's next could be here their entire life. This is all they know. And the things that they do, say, the rhetoric that they create, the legislation and the policies that they pass will really affect them. So that makes me, as that parent, I have to think about those things very closely of, oh my gosh, okay, we really have to make sure we get it right, because I worry day and night that I'm going to screw it up for the kids, let alone somebody that's far away in D.C. doing their other things, making policy and things are going to affect us here in Wisconsin, or if we moved out to California, doesn't matter where we are. I think those are ones where we got to have a lot of faith in those people, and we got to see the changes, like you said, going from that small number to a much larger number. It's not that much in 30 years.
No, it's not.
So we want to make sure we're seeing those things happen a lot more, being intentional with those pieces, the people that we put in place and the people we vote for.
This is one of my favorite sound clips, Philip. This happened on January 6th when the attack was going on at the Capitol, and Speaker Pelosi was told that then President Trump wanted to come to the Capitol, and this is what she had to say.
They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here, so at the moment he is not coming. But that could
change. I'm going to punch him out. This is my mom.
I would pay with you.
I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
Secret Service said they have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him yet.
Yep, she's going to punch him out.
Well, and tell me how you really feel.
And she was asked about this. This, I believe, is the cut from MSNBC, if she really would have punched him.
On the day of the riot, you said that if he led the rioters and came up to the Hill, you would have punched him out.
That's right. I don't even like to talk about him because it's really a tragedy for our country.
But you did say you would have punched him out.
I would have punched him out.
Tell me about
your
anger.
I said I would have punched him out. I would have gone to jail, and I would have been happy to do so.
Would you have done
for
it?
Our country. He wouldn't have had the courage to come to the Hill. He's all talk.
Oh my gosh, I tell you what.
Zing!
Oh, it is what it is, you know, and I actually believe her. I believe that she would have done it, and yes, she would have uphold the, you know, let the law do its thing.
Yes.
She would have gone to jail. She would have been the most popular inmate in the history of politics. I don't discount that.
But I it's hard to disagree with her on whether or not that person would have had the intestinal fortitude to actually do something like that.
That is a fact. And you know what? Call it what it is. I said she's going to call it out. And you know what? He could say what he would have, could have, should have done. And, you know, we know all the names that he's called, all the women around there. So I think it's one of those, take it. It's one of those F around and find out moments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we got time for maybe, we got time for maybe one more. This is her interview on 60 Minutes. The year before, this is 2006, she was elected as speaker in 2007.
Making the, here we call it the marble ceiling. This makes glass look like nothing. This is a marble ceiling.
Right.
The Democrats are going to...
And breaking it, she says, would help all women.
Onward! I believe if I become Speaker of the House, and in that highly visible role, show the American people that women know how to use power, that I think it helps all women in the political process or whatever field they're in, but I think it will be a plus.
All right. You know, and she's right. It will be a plus. And again, we may not see someone that's like her in a long time, but you know what? The legacy that she's going to leave behind, the breadcrumbs and the seeds that she's planted with these young legislators, when you think about those AOCs and all those, it's only going to make them stronger for the future.
Absolutely. You can't aspire to something if you don't see your own representation, right?
That's right. Absolutely. And so if you can't see it, you can't be it. And so it sounds like we're going to be going to a break here shortly. And so we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on Civic Media Network.
Simply must go.
Maybe it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
Maybe it's cold outside.
The welcome has
how
been.
How lucky that you
dropped
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window. At the stone.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look
my
delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
The waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
gosh, your lips are delicious.
But maybe just a cigarette.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta get home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a cup.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
grand.
I thrill when you touch my hair.
Don't you see?
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
the devil's advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, what, Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 15 overnight under overcast skies. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 7 above. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
Right, and we are back. You know, I love coming back. These intros and these outros are just really, just I just love these because it makes me feel like I'm a real professional in the radio world.
Well, you are a professional.
Oh, I'm here with you, Jane. I know all about your history and your past, so I know, and I'm a big fan. And it leads me right here. That music that you had coming back in with Taylor Swift, it's, you know, I don't know if you're, I'm not a Swiftie. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan per se. I know the songs. How about you? Do you listen to any of her music?
Very rarely. I mean, I love her upbeat stuff. I've told Kristen this. I'm not a ballady person. Ballads make me depressed. I have to be really, really, really sad to listen to a ballad. So I like some of her upbeat stuff. I really respect her songwriting ability.
I tell you, you know, she does have a way with words and that pen and paper. You know, that is definitely her weapon of choice of turning whatever she's feeling, whatever she's going through into that next big hit.
Yeah.
But I tell you, there's some obsession about it. And I talk about this and I have to link it back to, you know, forward to your era, to my era, and then those that are younger, the fandomonium. You know, I think about the old school stuff. You know, when you talk about the Untouchables, like the Grateful Dead and the Deadheads. And then you've got the Jimmy Buffett, the Parrotheads. You know, those are a very specific group that
yes.
have outlived a lot of big name bands and
yeah.
big name acts. I wonder, I said, will Taylor Swift be one of those? You know, everything that's going on with this whole Ticketmaster scandal and potential lawsuits and all these things of people not getting there and people are injuring themselves and hurting other people's to get to these concerts. And we see all the things that are happening out there with these big, big, big shows at these arenas and these stadiums. And I said, it makes me wonder, you know, these fan bases are a little scary at times.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, and I look at the current top three out there. I said, you've got, you know, Beyonce and the Beehive. You know, she's got 113 million fans worldwide.
Wow.
But then she's got the Beehive is, you know, 17,000 strong. You can't say anything negative about Beyonce because you have to commit and take everything that comes with it, whether it's Twitter, via email. They're going to come after you. It's game over. And so, you know, I wonder, like, did the Grateful Dead, did their fans do that? If you had something negative to say or you didn't like them or you had a comment or an opinion, did they come after you like they're doing here in kind of today's world?
No, they were way too mellow.
That's right.
I'm like, what has happened? Philip.
I'm like, we've forgotten what a chill pill is, apparently. You know, and Taylor Swift, the Swifties are the same. She's got 1.4 million. And I say these are younger, and I can't say that they have, you know, jobs, or I don't know who they are,
right.
But they're of all ages, of all colors, all shapes, sizes. I said, but then she's got 12 to 15,000 strong in her Swifties that you can't say anything negative about Taylor Swift anywhere. Otherwise, they will march. They will find you. It's like the ones that are the saviors to the Free Britney crowd. And now I guess the ones with the Jessica Simpson crowd. And I'm good with that. You know, it's like, gosh, you can't have a conversation. People don't know how to mellow out. They don't know how to chill out. If you say something negative, you are on the list. And the cancel culture is way too strong. And I don't want to be shut down for anything. So I promise you, on the radio waves here at the Shaw, we are not saying anything negative about Taylor Swift. But it makes me wonder here, you know, when you get to these pieces and these places, you know, and the new one that's on there. And I don't know if you listen to her because it's a little too much for me sometimes. But Cardi B and the Barty Gang. you talk about another 137 million strong with, you know, thousands upon thousands that are empowered women. You know, when you really look at it, of all levels, this is just the new way. This is the new Rosie the Riveter behind the airwaves that have a social following that is like none other. And I said, I know that they're not in a voting block or anything like that, but could you imagine the power that you talk about 400 million strong around the world and what they could do?
That's really interesting that you phrase it that way. And there are women in country who also, I believe, have the same amount of influence. Gosh, they could take over the world.
You know, women do run the world. You know, they started it and they're here. And I know my place. I'm going to step to the side because I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to walk out on the street here in Waukesha and end up with any type of, I won't call them a mob or just a group of empowered women looking for me and trying to find me outside my car.
I think the biggest issue, obviously, for any artist is their ability to reinvent themselves and change a little bit. And I don't know her music well enough to know how she has changed in the 10 to 15 years that she's been around. But you think of artists like Madonna, and I'm not a big Madonna fan, but that woman certainly was nothing if not successful at reinventing herself.
That's right.
Several times over. And I think Pink has done the same thing. And certainly Lady Gaga has completely reinvented herself. And she's just remarkable. You know, they're just really remarkably talented women.
You know, and the one thing, you hit it right on the head. I said they're incredible at reinventing, retooling, and moving with the times. And because there's such an age difference between, you know, those ladies, when you talk about your Jennifer Lopez, your Madonnas, your Pink, you know, even when you talk about even your Reba McEntire's and your Carrie Underwood's, no matter what the genre is, there's a gap there with, you know, the more seasoned, the veteran music and entertainer than, you know, with the younger crowd like a Taylor Swift. You know, she's not 10 or 12, but she's significantly younger than that group. I cannot comment on it because I haven't seen it, but I know she's I won't say the star, but she's in a movie that just came out, Amsterdam. And I'm actually dying to see it, but I can't find where to see it. But I've been told it's got good ratings. And, you know, I'm not one to listen to the Rotten Tomatoes and a lot of the critics out there in that space.
Right.
Because I do. I'm having no qualms about it. I like a good B movie every now and again.
Sometimes those are the best.
Those, yes.
You can have some of the best laughs at a really bad B movie.
That's right. I tell people all the time, I said, what good does it do me to walk around with all the best looking friends? I need to have some B-level friends too that I can hang out with. So I can, you know, not only feel better about myself, I think I'm in that B crowd. I said, but you know what? You know, you have to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You know, I have to have some things to compare things to. And if we were all the same and we were all A's, how boring would life be?
Life would be mighty boring. You know what? I tell you, all the top companies, you see those great CEOs and all those people, those leaders, they're all the B and C students. They had fun while they were doing what they're doing. They learned more than everybody else. The A students, they are needed. They're necessary. I absolutely want an A surgeon working on me if I ever have to be in that position.
Right.
I don't know necessarily that I want the B and C surgeon that might have fallen asleep between a couple of classes here to learn what's wrong with me. So, you know, there's a place for everybody in that space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got a break coming up.
All right. Let's take it a break here. We'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin on Civic Media Network.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All of this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it.
We did. Well, we're almost
done. We almost did it. We're almost through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, and we are back. This is As Goes Wisconsin, WAUK, the Shaw, 101 FM. And I'm telling you, we're going to slow it down a little bit and talk about something I thought was, you know, incredible. Jane, how often do you fly?
Gosh, Philip, I haven't flown since the beginning of the pandemic. I let my passport expire. And,
oh, my.
But my husband and I used to go overseas at least once a year.
Okay, okay. So you're at least accustomed to flying. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the whole taking off and landing thing is fairly common and, you know, kind of normal to you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm on a plane probably between 170 and 200 flights a year.
You must be a really patient person.
I'm a real airline snob when it comes to that. So I book flights. My wife always looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing? It takes forever to book a flight." I said, "Because I know the timetables. I know the aircraft. I know which routes and which flight crews are going to be on there. So I'm very particular on how I book, especially out of Wisconsin in the wintertime."
Sure.
And so I stare at those things because depending on what the weather's doing, you know, am I flying back through Twin Cities? Am I flying through Detroit? Am I going to go way down south to go through Atlanta just to get to Denver? I will sometimes. And so I don't know if you saw the news here this week. You know, there was a plane crash over here in the Pewaukee area. And I thought it was, you know, I'm glad there's all positive outcomes.
Yes.
But it was three people and 53 dogs.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, what is going on here? Not the puppies. You know, I don't have a dog, but I do love animals. You know, a snowy crash landing on that kind of first snow before our official first snow, an emergency landing there on the Western Lakes Golf Course there in Pewaukee. I said, this is insane. And you hear about these small plane crashes, but this wasn't like a, you know, a little private passenger jet. This was a real airline, you know, carrying dozens of adoptable dogs that, you know, just... It was just timing, and you never know what happens. But as I watched that, I said, wow, you know, they're coming from New Orleans to go to various shelters and had to make this emergency landing here in Wisconsin. I just couldn't imagine, and let alone being a person. But those dogs, you know, might say, I never want to be on a plane again.
I don't think most of them are excited about flying in the first place.
I would agree.
And we actually were lucky enough to talk to the president of Haas, Lynn Olenek, and... They do this. They have these flights coming in, Philip, like once or twice a month.
Yeah.
From various locations, especially down south. There's just a much different culture about spaying and neutering your animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our shelters end up taking those. But yeah, you know, these flights are very commonplace, and they were kind of standing by at the airport waiting for this plane to come in, and then got news of the crash. The pilot, remarkable landing. Could have ended up on the freeway. He could have crashed into somebody's house. This could have gone bad in so many different ways. And the fact that he was able to do that and minor injuries for everybody is astonishing.
I tell people all the time, I said, I probably more than most stare at every pilot in the airport as they're walking.
Are you looking him up and down?
Because I'm, you know, I'm not going to, you know, in all pilots, every pilot that's especially a commercial pilot, they're all highly trained.
Yes.
They're all highly skilled. You know, whether they have military experience or not, whether they come from, you know, the best school, they have a degree in aerospace, aeronautics, and aviation. It doesn't make a difference. They're all highly trained. They have a lot of hours in the cockpit. And then also before they get into a cockpit, they have lots of training. So I trust that they are there. However, I'm going to tell you, I do like my coffee like I like my wine. You know, I like some dust and some gray hair on the sides of the bottle. And, you know, I like them slower moving because I know they're paying attention to everything. But one of the things that's a fellow pastor pointed out to me here a couple days ago, they were like, you know, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, when you see them pop out to go to the restroom, you realize quickly, it's like, who's flying the plane? There's a co-pilot, but technology is really doing most of the work. You know, autopilot is a real thing.
Yes.
It makes you nervous when you think about, oh my gosh, but I also have a lot of stock and faith in the companies that build our planes, you know, whether it's a Boeing or a Lockheed Martin or whoever it is that's behind it. There's a lot of money, a lot of dollars, and there's a lot of safety and a lot of risk mitigation that goes into doing these things. And, you know, I have to trust that our good old FAA and the you know, all those aviation experts know what they're doing when they put a plane into the air.
Definitely. And I'm going to share a story now. So if people are listening who are already twitchy about flying, you might not want to listen to this just for a couple of minutes. My husband and I were in Greece a few years ago and went to a local bar restaurant, you know, and they're all open air and everything. And we went there for a late lunch. It's about midday through the day. And there are a couple of gentlemen at the table next to us who are already well on their way to Happy Land. And they've been drinking for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I are there for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and they are still having a ball and they're pouring them down. And I get into a conversation with one of them, and he is a pilot who is flying out the next day. As long as they have 12 hours, then you get 12 hours, I think, off, and then they can fly.
That's right.
But I saw him several hours later, still heading way well into Happy Land, and all I could think of was, thank God there's a co-pilot, and thank God they have autopilot, because that happens too.
That's right. I'll tell you, you know, and for those that are squeamish, and they talk about being on a plane and being in the air is safer than being in a car on the roads, right? And I used to always think, like, that's some BS. They're making up stuff just to make us feel better because they want us to fill those planes. But one of the things, especially after 9/11, you know, I started paying attention. I think everybody started to look up a whole lot more because you saw things stand still at a moment where you really start to see planes that are on their final descent really start to look at how many planes are in the sky. So I had to look this up. And here in the U.S., on average, an estimate, and this is all close numbers, but on average, there's more than 7,000 commercial planes in the air at any given time.
That's insane.
It's purely insane because when you think about those 7,000, you know, aircraft of some sort, That's millions of people. They're people above us, not on the ground, but above us somewhere, anywhere in the country. And here in the Midwest, we start to think about, you know, you always hear, oh, that's flyover country. Well, it really makes you pay attention because you're like, if you ever go to those websites like Air Scanner and Sky Scanner, and you see all the planes that crisscross across good old Iowa, good old Wisconsin, sure, good old whatever it is in the Midwest, that would make you extremely nervous. But I will say, when you go and you follow the trail, they're extremely safe. It is actually a rarity when something does happen. So it's really sometimes 1 in 50, 60, 70,000, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. But when you really break down where those planes are going, air traffic controllers have an incredibly stressful job. It's a very well-paid job. And they are the ones that are making sure everything is down to the millisecond. So when you talk about those 12 hours, I tell people, I said, I give the airlines grace now. Especially after COVID, and you know, I stopped travel a little bit for the first part, but then it started to pick back up. Mm-hmm. But when you really thought about that, when you see those pilots coming through and they're saying, "Folks, we're delayed, and we're waiting for the crew." Well, they're waiting for a crew that not that is just capable of doing the job, but the crew that is fresh.
Yes.
Hey, do you want that crew that is you know, got 1 or 2 hours left of their 12, or do you want that crew that's got 6 or 7 hours left that they were able to pull from some other city?
Yeah.
That's going to give you some leeway in the event that something, you know, catastrophic, you know, heaven forbid, happens out there someplace. So I will take those delays. I will give them some grace.
Yeah, you want them to be at their absolute best. And I think, Philip, you make an excellent point about air traffic controllers. They don't get praised nearly enough. And in fact, I think Kristen and I should try and talk to one of them.
Or I think that'd be cool.
Do they go to air traffic controller school?
I think they do.
Do they?
I think they do. I think there are very specialized programs for that. I have a friend he was in Texas, but they switch them around pretty regularly because they don't want them to become accustomed to one city and one style of traffic, and then that's all they know. And so they have assignments, and they get the opportunity to go to bigger airports or regional airports to see and learn different things. I've only ever known one of those. It's a funny one. It's, you know, we can all throw a stick in any direction and say, hey, I know a real estate agent. Hey, I know a pilot. Hey, I know this person. But rarely do you ever meet anybody that says, I actually know somebody in air traffic control.
And it must be a very specific type of person who is willing to do that job, because you've got to be precise. You've got to be excellent under pressure, because that's like a super high pressure job.
Yes.
And you have to be flexible, changing weather conditions and all of these things, and adaptable. And I have an immense amount of respect for that. And whatever genes those people have, I don't have them.
I always think about, you know, are they allowed to have coffee? Are they allowed to go to happy hour? Because it's, you would wonder sometimes, like, these people, you know, really have, they've got it together. They are in a high stress, a very high priority position. When you see, and I said, I don't think I've ever paid attention to the tower when I leave any airport. I know it's there.
Right, sure.
We pass by it, but who's really looking at it? And probably if you're on a plane, the last thing you want to look at is the tower. You don't want to see somebody in there throwing their hands around and going crazy. So you probably think about, you know, I want to know my pilot's okay. I want to know that the ground crew and their, you know, their orange cone sticks that are waving whatever signs and symbols they're doing, I hope that they're okay, because they're going to get us off the ground. And then once you're in the air, you know, the rest really is to left to air traffic control. They're going to tell you, you know, and we don't hear this as a passenger. So you're at the mercy of that person knows what they're doing, because they're giving the instructions to the pilot. And especially it comes down to when there's inclement weather.
Absolutely.
Because then you're throwing a monkey wrench in there. It's like, who can predict what the weather's going to do? You know, we've all been in the planes where it's like, folks, buckle your seat belts and, you know, return to your seats and fasten, you know, get tightened and fastened up. You know, I don't know what the pilot's saying. You know, I can look out the window and see that there's clouds and we're going through something, but they're being told, hey, go up to this height because the weather is doing this. The wind is going to do this, or it's going to come out of this direction. And in a split second, they have to be able to do those things. And I know the plane, again, does a lot of that, but air traffic control, I think, really is the one that is in charge of those pieces of saying, we see the best possible lane for you. You might be going out of your way a little bit, but we need to do this because. I'll tell you a quick story here. One of my roughest flights. My wife and I were on a flight going back when we lived in Denver, and we were coming in, and the pilot had come on and told us to buckle up and sit down, and you know, we're going to go through some turbulence.
Okay.
Well, as we're going through the turbulence, it comes on and says, well, folks, we're almost out of fuel. And so, okay, Now your mind's going racing, but we're coming down to the final descent. So we feel okay.
Okay.
It's turbulent, and Denver is known for on some of their inner runways that when you come, the wind off the mountains comes over the mountain and it smashes into the ground and it creates this wind shear. And I had never heard this term until then. Well, if you know anything about just basic, you know, flying a paper airplane, you throw a paper airplane into wind that's going straight down, it forces it to the ground very quickly. So we are within feet of landing. The wheels are about to touch the ground, and he pulls the nose up and goes back up high because he's like, there's too much pressure on the wing. And then at that moment, we heard this sound that I could tell people said that you could have heard a pin drop on this flight, and all these bells and whistles and alarms are going off. And I was like, what is happening? I look up the aisle, look to the back. All three flight attendants are in their seats, and they are in the tucked, put your head between your knees,
no.
And they're doing those things. And the one in the back is in tears. So now I'm like, this isn't good.
No.
I don't know what's happening here. Because he just told us we're out of fuel, but we're going back up.
Oh, my gosh.
We circled. He did it again. We tried to come down. Couldn't land. They had to take us back up, and we coasted, literally on fumes, apparently, to Colorado Springs. And we landed there for fuel, and we were able to land there. But by the time we were on the ground, there were two or three people that had minor heart episodes.
You know,
we're going into cardiac arrest.
Dear.
We had a woman that had that was diabetic that started to go into shock. And it was like, oh, my gosh. So needless to say, after we got off there, they were like, now, folks, we're going to take it back up. We're going to try to land in Denver. I was like, I will walk back to Denver. I'm going to take a break. We took a break for probably about 8 months of flying.
And did I was you like, really?
Oh, my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah, I'll take a bus.
I will absolutely. You know what? I might even take a bus at that point. I'm going to hitchhike. I need something where I could be somewhat in control.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's, again, kudos to that pilot. Kudos to those air traffic controllers. Kudos to all the people who understand wind speed and pressure.
That's
and
right.
All those mathy things that are required to be able to do a job like that. And if anybody listening knows someone who's an air traffic controller or anything about air traffic controlling, I would love to talk to you. 844-967-2789. You can call or text anytime. 844-967-2789. Got Philip Morris in today for Kristen Bry, who is on her vacation, and she's going to be back after Thanksgiving.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
All right. Sounds good.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 15 overnight under overcast skies. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 24. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 7 above. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
All right, and welcome back. You know, let it snow, let it snow. That song is bringing up some... I think it's conjuring some images for a lot of people around the country here with the weather that we're potentially coming into, not here in Wisconsin, but in Buffalo, New York. And Jane, I'm pretty sure you've heard and you're seeing what I'm seeing here. They're really possibly in for it.
Oh, they're going to get crushed.
Major snowfall.
Yeah.
And I always think of devil's advocate, Mike. Okay, if they get that, what could happen to us? Like, I've been here for 14 years, close to that here.
Did you grow up here, Philip?
Oh, no. I was brought here by a woman. I was not here by choice. I was hoodwinked, kidnapped, shanghaied, and bamboozled.
So you married a Wisconsin woman?
Yes, ma'am.
And so where did you grow up?
I grew up in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, gosh.
I said, so not
okay,
a,
so you are not, this is not normal for you.
This is not normal. And I can tell you, when I was, 7 years old, that I remember the first snowflake in North Florida, 1989, and you would have thought that it was the apocalypse. People were running out to you at that time, Wilson's Leather Goods and every fur factory you could find. And I always wondered, like, it's so cold, we're freezing it. And now here, flash forward all these years, I live in Wisconsin. You see me now. I don't even know how to dress for winter. I can walk outside in shorts and a hoodie and people look at me sideways when it's 24 degrees. But Buffalo is really in for it. I said, they're projecting what could be close to 6 feet of snow.
Isn't that insane? It's really even hard to wrap your brain around just how much that is. And because it's going to happen over such a short period of time. Although again, this, you know, these people have been through to this rodeo many times before, but they moved the football game because Buffalo was supposed to play on Sunday, and I think they moved it to Cleveland.
You know, that's unfortunate. Of all places you have to go, we have to go to Cleveland. Like, at least take us to Miami. Take us someplace warmer to give us some kind of relief knowing that we have to go home to Buffalo. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, you think about the things that are interrupted when we have heavy snowfall here in Wisconsin. I can't imagine if we said, hey, folks, hey, Waukesha, over the next 24 hours, we're going to get about 5 feet.
Right.
5 feet of wet and heavy stuff.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
I panic already when I see that we're going to get, you know, it could be 6 or 7 inches, you know, over multiple storms over a couple of days. Because I'm thinking about the middle of the night. I don't want to go out there and push the blower again and then have to get up again at 5 a.m. or 5:30 and do it again, knowing that the plow is going to come through and seal my driveway in the front of my house off again.
And
then it's going to freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I even leaving? Just go back to bed.
But so CNN is reporting that by this morning, 3 feet of snow had already fallen in Orchard Park, which is home of the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Mayor Brian Brown said today, I want to be very clear, this is not your normal snowfall in the city of Buffalo. Talking about the 4 to 5 feet coming in, this is a snowstorm with potentially deadly consequences if people do not do things the right way. And I would think that's going to include, you're going to have to go out and do some clearing, because otherwise you're not going to be able to open your door.
No, it conjures those images for me of when I would search for Buffalo snow winter, because I would compare, when I first moved here, I compared Wisconsin to Buffalo. I'm like, these are cold places. You know, upstate New York and Wisconsin, being from Florida, all we were ever told was that if you live in those two places, you live like on a big prairie or a dairy farm covered in ice or an iceberg or the icy tundra, something like that. So I would find all these images where people were literally having to carve their way out of their front door.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you don't think about, you think about, you know, 5 feet of snow falling, 6 feet of snow falling and setting someplace. But then you get the wind and snow drift and what's fallen off your house or what's been already moved by some vehicle to clear out the roads and for safety reasons. I can't imagine. You know, you see all those folks that are like, let me go upstairs to my second floor, climb out the window and start shoveling from there.
Yeah, from the top down.
I'm not built for that, Jane. I'm just letting you know right now.
I most people are not built for that. And this is going to be, too, this isn't like that nice, white, fluffy, lovely stuff. This is going to be because it's lake effect snow and we deal with that in Milwaukee.
That's right.
And, or, you know, parts of Wisconsin all the time. So it's that very moisture-ridden heart attack snow that... You're gonna have to do it in layers because I don't even know how, you know, your own snowblower can only handle so much, and especially when it's that heavy.
Well, you start thinking about the secondary things. You know, right now in my garage, we have not had to use a snowblower yet because we didn't use it that much last season.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the season, we drain the fuel out so it's clear it. I have not put gas back in it. I said, I can't imagine those people are like, well, you know, we've got enough to get through. Well, if with 5 or 6 feet, how many passes do you have to make? I mean, because you're going through it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have anything. I think our, you know, really big, really nice, you know, the big red Toro snowblower can push 28 inches. And that's like really a stretch. It's really like,
yeah, that's asking a lot. Inches. Yeah,
it is because you're moving very slowly at that point.
Absolutely.
And that's not fun.
No.
And, you know, then you see the folks that are out there, like you said, the heart attacks waiting to happen, trying to use a shovel. I got to clear the top 36 inches off before I can get to the bottom. And then I always hate the parts there. You get to the bottom and you're like, oh, it's been down here long enough. It's ice.
Yes.
It's solid. I can't do anything with this.
Well, hopefully, because we're going to warm up now. We're going to have a real cold weekend. It's going to be really, really chilly today, tomorrow. And I think finally on Sunday, it starts warming up a little bit. And then into the early part of next week, we might get back into the upper 30s, lower 40s, which is probably a little bit closer to normal around here.
That's right.
And so hopefully that same kind of warming will be heading western part of New York and Buffalo way. So all that stuff doesn't just turn into one big snow sculpture for the rest of the season.
That's exactly right. So everybody here listening on the radio waves, wherever you are this weekend, have a drink, have a toast for Buffalo, and say a little prayer and hope that we don't get any of that this winter. I know the Snowmageddon is real. I know that what we call those, the what was it called, Jane? The term we had.
Shoot.
For all the ice and the snow cold winter.
Oh, gosh darn it. I'm drawing a complete blank, Philip, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, everybody that's listening knows what I'm talking about, too. Whatever that was, we don't want that again.
let's not have that.
That's right.
That would be bad. Yeah, they're talking the most snow than Buffalo, more snow than Buffalo has seen in 20 years.
Wow.
The city's highest 3-day snowfall is 56.1 inches, and that happened in December of 2001. So,
oh my gosh.
Again, I know they've dealt with a lot of snow in the past, but this is going to be a doozy. So I'm sure they'll all be looking out for each other, looking out for the helpers, and for the most part, you know, staying home and buckling down and staying warm.
Yeah, that's, you know, as I say, it said, fill your pantry and get the things that you need. I don't know if it's better to have a car or park on the street, because if they're, you got to dig one out either way.
Don't put it on the street. That's not going to be good.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We're going to take it here to the break. And, you know, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin here on 101 FM, The Shaw.
Weather outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still...
the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire eight-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.